Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Today we're going to be talking about, in our lesson, we're going to be talking about stress. Stress. Time magazine read a cover story. They ran that several months ago. It was called Stress. Can we cope? And the article was a story of about how stress is costing American businesses $100 to $150 billion a year. Stress costs the United States an estimated, listen to this, $1,000 per worker in the workforce. Stress is also a major contributor to coronary heart disease, cancer, accidental injury, cirrhosis of the liver, and of course, suicide. Stress. Can we cope? There was a Dr. Joel Elks of the University of Louisville, and this is what he had to say. He said, "The mode of life itself, the way that we live our lives, is emerging as the principal cause of illness." Now, maybe some of you have seen the stress index. It was developed by a Dr. Thomas Holmes. He called it the Social Readjustment Rating Scale, and it's a chart that simply measures how stress affects a person, and here it is. And before you leave today, you're going to get a chance to have one of these in your hands and take it home and work it and see how much stress is in your life. And it shows different values. And what they did is they took various life changes that we all experience in life, and they gave different amounts to the amount of stress that they bring. And so what you can do is you can look at this, and like some of them are like death of a spouse. It's 100 points. Being fired from a job is 47 points. Having a baby, 39. Christmas, 12 points. Obviously, Dr. Holmes didn't have 5 children. It would be higher. I thought that as I looked at that. Vacation, 13 points. And so what Dr. Thomas Holmes says, he says, if you accumulate like 200 points in a 2-year period, you're in deep trouble. He said, if you accumulate 300 points within a 2-year period, it is almost certain that you're going to have a heart attack, an emotional stress attack, or you're going to lose your ability to function as a human being. Stress is serious business, isn't it? And when I look at this list, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is there's no way to escape all these things. I mean, you take this list home and you and your husband sit down and your family, you put it on the table and you say, now what we're going to do is we are going to stay away from all of these things. You can't do it. How do you remove the risk of a death of a spouse? You can't do anything about that. Where in the world is there any such thing as job security anymore? There's just nothing you can do about those things. And I'm convinced by this time next year that all of us will experience 1 to 5 of the things that are on this stress chart. You will face those issues. You can't get away from them. And so some people say, well, you know, I'm just going to wait for the inevitable to happen. Some people have a fatalistic attitude. Well, ultimately it's going to get me, so I'm just going to wait around until it occurs. And so some people have that attitude, but you know what? There is a better way. We do not have to be swept away by emotional illness and heart attacks and stress-related illness. We would do well to listen to what God has to say in His Word and to begin to prepare our lives for the inevitable problems that face every human being on the globe. Today I want to talk to you about the fact that God has a plan for your life that would make it possible for you to grow so strong that when stress comes that you would be able to face that stress victoriously. You can do that, and I can do that. I'm convinced that sooner or later the difficulties in our life will reveal our inner strength, our spiritual maturity. Sooner or later, these life change units that we're talking about is going to show how real we are deep down inside. But you know what? You cannot control the circumstances out there. You cannot keep trouble away from your door. You can't do it. But what you can do is you can prepare your life so that when trouble knocks, you can answer that door. And you can do so with strength and confidence. As I look at that list, I think about the Apostle Paul. And I think, wow, I mean, do you know how many points the Apostle Paul must have had on his chart? By the way he lived his life, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to show you the way Paul lived. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look in verse 24. And I want to read to you the way he lived his life. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. He said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all of the churches. I mean, I see Paul just sailing right off of the stress chart, don't you? You talk about stress, and don't you think for a moment that last statement about his concern for the church was some kind of meaningless afterthought? It was probably his highest stress number on his whole list that he had there. And I think about Paul and all of the things that he had to deal with there. But I look at Paul and I see that Paul didn't come unglued. He faced it all. He didn't fall apart. There was something about Paul. Yes, Paul did die, but it wasn't from cancer or colitis or anything that was related to the stress he had in his life. He died for his commitment for Jesus Christ. His life was taken from him. But I want to show you something else. Even in his death, that did not produce stress in his life. Take your Bibles, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And shortly before he died, he wrote these familiar words to us. He said, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure, he said, it's at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me that day. And not only to me, but for all those who love his appearing. Now, those are not empty words of defeat on the part of Paul. He has not given up or given in. He faced everything that the old devil could throw at him, and he has not diminished in his inner strength one bit. Even when he tried to share his thoughts about death to the church, listen to what he said in Philippians 1:23. He said, for I am hard pressed between the two. He said, desiring to depart to be with Christ, for it is far better. He said, nevertheless, for me to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. I mean, what a positive outlook on death. He said, I really can't make up my mind what I should do, which is more important, to go and die and be with the Lord or to stay here and help my brethren. You say, wow, how did he do it? Was Paul simply avoiding reality? Did he take a head-in-the-sand approach to life? Well, no. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll stay here for the rest of our time today. And in verse 8, he says, you know, look, we were impacted. We were impacted by some of the things that occurred. He said, we were hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We were perplexed, but not in despair. He said, these things came at us. We dealt with them, but there's a kind of strength that God gives to meet the challenge for the day. But then in verse 16, he gives us the secret. For this he says, for therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, he said, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Did you see that? Paul survived the stress of his life as he lived it for one reason only. Because he lived from the inside out and not the outside in. Did you get that? This man had strength to the core. He really did. And so when they robbed him and they beat him and they tried to kill the outer man, the inner man refused to cave in. Paul had spent his life building the muscles of his spiritual being. So when those events, those stressful times came, he survived and he remained strong. And people, this is where a lot of the problem lies with us. We are so greatly impacted by the stress that comes to us on the outer man level because we have not spent sufficient time building the inner man. Now, if you look there in chapter 4, what you will discover is that he talks about this outer man. And what he's talking about is the body. Three times, other times in that chapter, he talks about the outer man. He uses a little different language, but in verse 7, you'll see that. In verse 10, you'll see it. As well as in verse 11. By the outward man, Paul is simply talking about that which we can see, the body. But by the inner man, he's talking about the very center of a person that relates to God, the spirit or the soul of a person. And it's here we have trouble because you and I live in an outer world, do we not? And it's becoming more like that all the time. I want to ask you, why is it that we have difficulty emphasizing the inward man? Why is it? Well, I want to give you three reasons today, and you might want to jot these down. Three reasons that we find it difficult to build and to focus on the inner man. First of all, we do not properly appreciate eternity. We do not appreciate eternity as we ought. If you look there in chapter 4 at verse 17 and verse 18, he talks about the difference between the temporal and the eternal. He says, for our light afflictions, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight and glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen, he said, those things are eternal. Paul says, look, I have a different way of looking at life than most people. Yeah, I see those things that are for a moment. He said, but I also see those things that are going to last. He says, and that's where I put my emphasis on those things that are going to last. Maybe the reason that you and the reason that I put so much more emphasis on the body than we do the soul is that we have not come to a properly appreciate the importance of eternity and the economy of God. We see the body as that which is so important. But the Bible says that this body in its present form is not going to survive the grave. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look in verse 42. It's sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. Chapter 50 says that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. This body we have is going to die. You can write it down. But the inward man will live on. The soul that Paul Owen has today is the same soul that he will have forever and ever and ever throughout all of eternity. And the trouble that we have with emphasizing the inner man is because we, you and I, are time-oriented. The second reason that we have difficulty emphasizing the inward man is because we do not have God's perspective on life. Do you know what God's perspective is? is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It is summarized in that verse that man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. That's true. Man seems to center and focus on that is the outward, the external, the shell. But God doesn't. God looks upon the heart, the inner man. And if we could get God's perspective on life, we would begin to emphasize the things that He emphasizes in life, the inner person. My goodness, do we live in an outward world. The outward world says, you know, you got to keep looking young and attractive and thin and without wrinkles, full of energy. We live in an age that only values youth. It used to be that the gray hair and a lined face was to be respected for a life of hard work and experience and knowledge. Today, the best compliment that you can receive is for someone to tell you what? You don't look your age. And so we spend millions of dollars trying to keep young and untouched by life and aging, all the time communicating to people, the body, the body, the body, that's what's important. The body's important. God says, I look at the heart. That's what matters. And the third reason why we have difficulty emphasizing the inner man is because of the fact that somehow time spent building the inner man is viewed as wasted time. Now, I want you to think about this. I have tried to understand what this is in my own heart this week. But I believe that we live in an accomplishment-oriented society. I mean, when we work on the inward man, and we're in Bible study, and we're in prayer, and we're really examining our lives as we live it before the Lord, and we're building the inward man. You know what? That doesn't show up on any chart of accomplishment, does it? When you and your friends get together, no one asks you, well, Paul, how much time did you spend this week building up the inner man? No one asks that. And so what we do is we push ourselves to do those things that will bring about the compliments that our emotions and our egos need so badly. And so we spend so much time putting on a great show, building a great shell that so many times it's empty inside, and no one thinks to ask, how are you doing inwardly? How is your spiritual life? And so we do those things that will get the greatest outward response. Let me tell you something. At the end of Paul's life, having faced everything that you and I face 100 times over, including the death of a martyr, you know what he said? He said, the outward man is perishing. That's what he said. And there's nothing we can do about that. Oh, you can paint it up and you can keep it looking young if you want. But ultimately, it's going to die. And this generation in which we live now, we're seeing movie stars that are passing away between the age of 70 and 75. And you know what? You see pictures of them and they look like they're 45 years old. Isn't that something? They spend all of their life and their money trying to look beautiful, but you know what? Death takes them at the same rate that it takes you and I and the rest of us. Paul says, you know what? I've got a different philosophy. The outer man is perishing. Now understand that Paul did not abuse his body. He did not waste his body, but he accepted his mortality. He said, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Finally today, I want to leave you with a few ways that we can build up the inner man. That's what we want to do. That's where our focus should be. And you might want to jot these down. I got 4 or 5 ways that we can build up the inner man. Now, I'm going to tell you at the outset that this does not happen automatically. This does not happen by osmosis. But we have to work at these things. We have to have discipline. The first way that we can build the inner man is feeding upon God's Word. Just as the outward body needs food, the Bible says the inward man also needs food. 1 Peter 2:2, desire the pure milk of the Word. And then he says, that you may grow thereby. Now, there are five ways that I know of that we can get the Word of God into our being. And I'm going to give them to you quickly. The first way that we can get the Word of God into our being is simply by hearing it. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, by simply listening to the Word of God. The second way is by reading it. Every Christian ought to be actively involved in some kind of reading program in the Bible. Some of you will read the New Testament through this year. That's great. Some of you will read the Old Testament. That's great too. Some of you will even read the entire Bible. Tremendous. We ought to be active in reading the Bible. The third way is by studying the Bible. Now, that is a little more intensive than simply just reading the Bible. Because what you do when you study the Bible is you take it apart and you put it back together. I mean, you try to understand it. You delve into it. You ask questions of it. Like in Acts 17:11, when the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see if things that Paul was saying were really true. We ought to be active in studying God's Word. And the fourth one is real important, and that's memorizing the Word of God. I'm afraid that's a lost art today in the church. Not here, thank the Lord, but in other places it is. Memorizing. It's critical. I don't know how many people have told me through the years after going through some terrible loss or experience saying, you know what? It was during those times I was going through that hardship that those verses that I remembered through my life, those are the verses that sustained me during that time. Psalm 119:11. David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If you were in a prison camp, how much of God's Word could you call to mind? Memory. It's important. And the fifth way is to meditate upon the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 2. David says, "Thy law I meditate day and night." That means to chew it over, to think about it, to input it into your life and how it relates and how it applies. You can do that at work. You don't even have to have the Bible open, do you? Just go over those verses that you've memorized and you just meditate on those. So that is one way that we can build the inner man, is by feeding upon the Word of God. The second way is by talking to God in prayer. And I'm not going to go at length in this, because if I do, my sermon tonight will be very, very short because it's on prayer. So we'll talk more about that tonight. But then the third way is to find time to be alone. Are you ever alone? Now, it's hard for me to be alone sometimes. It really is. It's hard for, I know, Tammy to be alone sometimes. But are you ever alone in silence? I mean, no music, no car radio. When all the other distractions are out, and it's you and God and God and you, and you can really think about your spiritual life as it is. You can really examine your life. But I think a lot of us, we're afraid to be alone in silence. What's the first thing you do when you get in your car? No, after you put the seatbelt on, what do? You turn the radio on. You know, when I call a friend and their business and I'm put on hold, I have a symphony in my ear. We live in a very noisy world. But we need to find time sometime in our day, in the morning or evening or noon, whenever, to be alone for prayer and study and for reflection. There was a man from Scotland at the turn of the century who went to live in Africa as a missionary. It was a place that was infested with disease and indescribable danger. But this man had an inward spirit that kept him going. When lesser man, his colleagues, broke up and broke down and ran home and never came back. And after a very draining day, there he was trying to sleep in a very crude jungle hut. And that night he wrote these words. He says, "I'm not very particular about my bed these days, but as I lay on these few dirty sticks covered with dirty corn shells, with plenty of rats and insects and over a dozen sheep and goats and cows outside, you don't wonder that I sleep little." He said, "But I had such a comfortable, quiet night in my own heart." That's it. In the midst of all of the problems and stress, by the grace of God, you can give yourself to the discipline of building the inner man. Stress? Oh yeah, it'll come. It'll hurt. You'll shed some tears of the outward man, but there will be that center of you, that core that remains strong. Stress is a matter of the heart. Proverbs 4:23 said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life." And I want to say that there are many of you in this congregation that I greatly admire. You know why? Because you have that inner strength. Let's encourage each other to grow innerly. Wouldn't that be great? Every once in a while, ask, "How are you doing spiritually? Are you growing?" Well, this morning, let me tell you that if you're not in Christ, then you are not building up the inward man. In fact, you're lost. Today, will you come to Him in simple, trusting faith, like Stephen Fulks, like Paul and Vanessa Robinson, like Troy Jones? So simple, yet so profound. And then I said to Paul, "What in the world are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Will you do that right now? Maybe it is the fact that you have some stress in your life and you're carrying some burdens too heavy for you to bear. We're your family. We're your brothers and sisters, for crying out loud. We love you. Our goal is to take each other to heaven the best of our ability. If you have a need, make that known as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.